verses 1 to 2. We're going to finish this series this morning. And you probably don't think of Habakkuk as a good place to get a lesson on how to hear from God, how to receive guidance from God. But let me just read the verse once more. And you go ahead and get your outline, put it right next to your text. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. Verse 2, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets. Now I hope after 4 weeks of this study, you get the point and understand that the fact is that God does speak to people. He speaks to you. He wants you to hear him, and he wants you to speak back to him. So, in receiving guidance from God, today specifically, after we've learned that God speaks through his word, he speaks through teachers, he speaks through impressions, we learned about ways to test those impressions, he speaks through other people, all these different ways he speaks through pain, unfortunately, to teach us some lessons. I want to focus particularly this morning, since we ended off on testing impressions, in an area where sometimes there can be confusion, there can be misunderstanding. So we ask the question, well, how do we do it? If we want to hear that still small voice of God and we want to believe that we're getting some clarity to the message, especially if we're saying to him, Lord, should I marry this person or not? Or this person or this person? Or when you need guidance and you say, Lord, should I change jobs? Lord, should I move to a different part of the country? Lord, how should I handle my children in these circumstances? Lord, should I make this investment or not? All of these things, believe it or not, God's aware of these details in your life, and he wants very much to speak into the situation. But you've got to be tuned into him. So we're going to look at Habakkuk. We're going to look at five things he did. You've got your outline there on requesting guidance from God. But first, there's some prerequisites, if you will, if we're going to hear from God to take these things Habakkuk did. And the first one is, you must realize that God cares about the details of your life. Now, I know we like to say God is still involved in the affairs of men today, in the affairs of the world, and he is. But take that to the micro level. God is very interested in the details of your life. Mary, I forgot to ask permission, but I'm going to put Mary on the spot. You know, before she had her cataract surgery, we were praying, I said, I'll make sure to put that on the prayer list. And you know, of course you know what Mary said. There are so many people that have so much more going on than I do. I don't want to bother, you know. She didn't say bother God, but put myself there to have people pray for me because so many people are in such worse shape. But guess what, Mary? God was very concerned about your cataract surgery and was right there in the middle of the details of that procedure, and he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from us about you. I mean, listen to Matthew 6:31, 32. Don't worry about what you eat or drink or wear. Your heavenly Father knows you need these things. Now, that's an amazing verse to me because it says, you know what? God is concerned about what I wear. Go figure. He's concerned about what I drink, about what I eat. That's an amazing verse. Every little detail in your life, God is not only aware of, but it says he's interested in because he made you. And until you can come to the point of understanding how much he cares and is concerned and loves you and wants to know the minutiae and the details of your life, you will not find yourself coming to him and asking him for guidance in those areas. I don't want to bother God. You know, he's got this whole universe to keep running and stuff. No, that's the exact opposite of his nature. He's your heavenly Father. He made you. He loves you beyond your understanding. And he's more interested in anything and everything to do with you than you can think. Second thing, prerequisite, you need to ask a specific question. I've been reading God's word and I go to him in prayer. God, you got anything to tell me today? No. Don't do that. The more specifically you can ask of God, the more with clarity that you will hear Him answer it. So instead of saying, God, do you want to say anything? God, what do you think about? Fill in the blank. What's the next step with this situation in my life? What should I do here? How should I do this? Be very specific. Over 20 times in the New Testament, God says, ask, ask, seek, knock. Scripture says, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him and He'll gladly tell you. James says, you have not because you ask not. God wants you to ask Him for advice. It's very clear. He's waiting. He's willing. He wants to, with clarity, to advise you about relationships, about finances, about career, about health. He's eager and willing to be involved in any of the details and to talk to you. So you ask, and you have to believe that He's interested, and you have to be specific. Third prerequisite, believe He wants to answer. James 1, 5, 6. This is a paraphrase, the Living Bible. God is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask Him. He won't resent it, but when you ask Him, be sure you really expect Him to tell you. Note that expect. That's the encouragement that still applies to us today. Be sure you really expect Him to tell you. God is more willing to tell you, for you to talk to Him, for Him to give you guidance. He tried four times in Scripture to get Samuel's attention, and Samuel wasn't getting it. When you expect answers to your prayers, and you really pray, and you will really get answers, and so when you come to God, you make a specific request about how you want Him to speak in to handling a particular situation, and then you expect an answer. So in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, he asks God six specific questions. Chapter 2, which we read from, he waits and listens to God. God answers, he writes down what he hears. I will climb my watchtower and wait to see what the Lord will tell me. The Lord gave me this answer. Write it down what I reveal to you. So out of this book, out of this little passage, we have five steps this morning from God's Word on how to receive that impression from the Holy Spirit, how to hear God's still small voice. And it's withdraw, wait, watch, write, and worship. Why do preachers like to alliterate? I don't know, but we do. Withdraw, wait, watch, write, worship. Expressing my love to God, worship. In fact, that's what we're going to study tonight because it ties right in with this. So first, withdraw. The very first thing, if you're going to hear God speak, that still small voice, is you need to withdraw. And all that simply means is wherever it is for you, whatever time of day or season of your life, it just means you get alone in a quiet place. Habakkuk says, I will climb my watchtower. Now that's a Hebrew expression that simply means I'm going to get off alone. I'm going to get off by myself. I'm going to eliminate external distractions because I want to hear God speak. So you find a quiet place alone. You need to withdraw. Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. If Jesus needed to do it, guess what? We need to do it. He led a very active life. He was involved in so many things. He had throngs coming at him. And I know the pace of some of your lives is very much the same way as far as the rapidity and the stuff you're involved with and the pace of your life. And so if Jesus made it a habit, Habakkuk is saying, I and we do too. So we quiet ourselves, our own thoughts, our own emotions, and that leads us to the second step, wait. And waiting simply means calm your thoughts and emotions. Quiet yourself down. And so Habakkuk then says, I will station myself. The Good News Version says, I will wait. So what does it mean to station yourself? It just means you're withdrawing in that quiet place. You're not distracted, you're not moving, you're not doing something else, you're not multitasking, you're still. And so I'm going to wait a while, station myself, until something happens. It says I'm going to station myself so I can hear God. So God speaks to the person who takes the time to listen, who puts himself in the environment, the quiet spot, where they can mentally, emotionally slow themselves down. 2 Kings 3:15 says, Elijah asked for soft music to be played while he tuned into God to find the answer to the question he had. And then the third one is watch. Now, this one's interesting. Watch. Let God give you a mental picture. The third thing Habakkuk says is this: I will look to see what he says to me. Now, isn't that interesting? I will look to see what God says. Wouldn't it make more sense to say, I will listen to see what God says? You listen to what people say. You listen to what God says. Why did he say this? Because an important key in hearing God is to understand God's still small voice very often can be visual. Very often it's going to be God speaking through a mental picture. And so I will look to see what he says to me. Hundreds of examples in Scripture where people were praying and God gave them a mental picture or vision as an answer to the direction, the situation, primary way, not the only way, but often a way that God speaks to people through these impressions, these mental images, if you will, these visions inside your head. Examples: Abraham, Jacob, Job, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, New Testament, Peter, John, Paul. Very often, God gives people like this mental picture. I think that's the reason why Jesus says several times in Scripture, watch and pray. Watch and pray. This visual element to prayer. Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope to which he has called you. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be open. I thought the eyes were in the head. He's not talking about physical eyes. He's talking about your spiritual eyes. When you were born physically, you got physical eyes. When you were born again, born spiritually, he's saying you got spiritual eyes, spiritual senses. And so these spiritual ears, these spiritual eyes that you have. Have you ever been reading the Bible? You've read the verse a dozen times, and all of a sudden it pops out to you. God opens your eyes, and you say, aha, I get it now. Or boy, this really applies at this point in time in this situation. You're seeing that. Scripture says in John 3, except a man may be born again, he can't see the kingdom of heaven. There is an unseen part of reality. You are all spiritual beings going through a temporary human experience, and you can only see some things with your spiritual eyes. It is just as real as the physical. None of us can see God here this morning, but he is here just as real as this pulpit, those pews, that wall. This building will decay, but God will not, and the reality of his presence. And so he says, I want you to learn to see from my perspective, my viewpoint. Use your spiritual senses, spiritual eyes. Look at number four, write. Record the ideas that you receive. Notice what Habakkuk did. The Lord gave me this answer. Write down clearly what I reveal to you. So get the progression. Chapter 1, Habakkuk gives 6 questions to God. Chapter 2, he waits, he quiets himself, he watches, and the Lord says, here's what I want you to do. Write down clearly what I reveal to you. So in chapter 1, he writes down his prayer to God, what his questions are. Chapter 2, he writes down God's answers to him. That's what he's told to do. And I've heard of many people, this is very helpful, they write out their prayers. As they're studying Scripture in their quiet time, they might be writing out what God is teaching them. You might buy a spiral notebook or a 3-ring binder, whatever it is. Victoria and I used to have just a journal in Bible college and seminary. We would write down our prayers and we would go back and mark them off as God answered them in time. Not for some quota system, but just to see, be able with clarity to remember how was God speaking to us, what were we asking of, and how did God resolve the situation. So this spiritual habit of journaling, a very good spiritual discipline, but it keeps you focused, it keeps clarity, it reminds you of the things that you were asking God of so you don't have to keep learning them over and over again. And you wrote it down and you review it and you go back to it, and it helps with this seeing. Number 5 is worship. You thank God for speaking to you. Habakkuk 3:2. Oh Lord, now I've heard your report and I worship you in awe. He says, okay, now that you've spoken to me, God, I love you and I want to express my love to you, he's saying. And when you today have received God's loving response to your question, to your prayer request, and you've heard that answer, you've seen that answer, if you will, in your mind, perhaps you've written it down, you've gone back, and it makes you closer to the Lord, it draws you closer to Him, it increases your love for Him, and it turns that dynamic, that seeking God's will, that prayer, that dialogue, into a conversation, from this monologue to a dialogue. Three kinds of relationships you can have. You can believe in God. You know what? That's a great place to start, but it's the lowest form of relationship that He wants. You believe in me? Great. Or you can be acquainted with God. You know, that's digging a little deeper in your relationship with Him. And because of your study in God's Word, because of your time in prayer to Him, you're getting to know Him better. He's knowing you better. That's a deeper relationship. But Jesus wants this kind of relationship. He says, I call you my friends, and I want you to be my friend, where we can commune and discuss and dialogue. And God says, I want you to be my friend. I want you to be that acquainted with me. I want us to communicate that well, and if we begin to practice these biblical steps, it can open up whole new dimensions of your Christian life where it's an adventure, a joy, where obviously God is talking to you, and it's a key way that God can get your attention, where you can hear Him talk to you, and the more you do that, the closer and more of a friend you become to our Lord. God loves each and every one of you and wants to speak into each and every situation that you're involved in more than you can ever know. And He says, just work the process. Would you pray with me? Father God, help us to apply these lessons. Help us in the most important way to improve in that dynamic, to raise that level of relationship, to become more intimate and close to you. We know you want to talk to us. We want to hear you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.